from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you, going until 10 o'clock this evening. Really excited for the next guest that we're going to have on our show on the waitfor.com hotline. If you've been hiding under a rock, you did not see the fact that DeJounte Murray has been traded from the Atlanta Hawks. That return, something that we're going to spend the next part of our show discussing, is fair value, all of those different things. But DeJounte Murray traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, a 2025 first-round pick via the Lakers, a 2027 first-round pick, the least favorable of the Milwaukee Bucks and the New Orleans Pelicans. So with that being said, let's go out to the waitfor.com hotline and bring in Christian Clark. He is of NOLA News and From the Wing podcast. You can follow Christian on social media at cclark_13. Now, Christian, first off, welcome in. And did you know that the article with the headline that you wrote, From a Hawk to a Pelican, would blow up as much as it did?
Yeah, that was really funny to see how much that took off. I have to give some credit to the Times-Picayune's desk and my friend Tanya Ramirez. Tanya Ramirez was the one who came up with the headline. She's a great designer and editor who I work with. So all credit goes to her for the headline. But yeah, that thing went nuclear. It was pretty funny to see.
It was really cool because I think, you know, for it's the perfect type of headline that for those who aren't familiar with the viral moment of the Hawk to a Girl would just go on about their business, have no idea. But for the rest of us, it was a very, you know, kind of high schoolerish giggle kind of thing. But Christian, when it comes to this trade and the decision from the Pelicans' perspective, why do you think this move happened now?
Yeah, look, I think the Pelicans were interested in trading for DeJounte Murray before the trade deadline in February. It was something that they looked at, and I think they felt like the asking price was high at the time, and it was obviously something that they revisited this summer. I just think that the Pelicans have tried this approach of not having, you know, kind of a pure point guard, and I guess you could quibble with that with DeJounte a little bit, but DeJounte Murray's a lead guard. The Pelicans really haven't operated with a lead guard for the past two seasons. Zion Williamson has filled that role at times. Brandon Ingram has filled that role at times. CJ McCollum has. You know, DeJounte Murray's coming in here to be the lead, to initiate the offense. You know, the Pelicans just had this playoff performance against the Oklahoma City Thunder where they never scored more than 92 in any of the four games. It was just like a brutal offensive performance. So I think DeJounte checks a lot of boxes for New Orleans.
All right, Christian, I think, you know, part of this whole reason why we're discussing this trade is because of fit, or lack of fit, I would say, and the fact that Trae Young and DeJounte Murray didn't seem to fit together on the court. Why do you think the Pelicans think DeJounte's fit is going to be different for them and to work for them?
Yeah, look, I think the Pelicans are still going to make moves this summer. I think it's more likely than not that Brandon Ingram gets traded. So it's hard to, you know, like give a full evaluation of this roster right now because I still think it's going to change a lot.
Fair.
But
yeah.
Look, certainly the Pelicans were excited about putting DeJounte Murray and Zion Williamson together. And, you know, when you look at like the core four going forward in New Orleans, to me, that's DeJounte Murray, Herb Jones, Trae Murphy, and Zion Williamson. I think that's a four that makes sense together. You know, you've got perimeter defense there. Trae Murphy gives you a lot of the outside shooting. I mean, you've got late game ball handling with DeJounte Murray. Zion Williamson has a pick and roll partner with DeJounte Murray. So to me, that four makes sense. And it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of change the pieces around them.
Talking with Christian Clark of NOLA News and From the Wing podcast on the WaitFor.com hotline, dealing with this whole DeJounte Murray trade as he leaves the Atlanta Hawks and goes to the Pelicans. Now, I mentioned right at the top of this interview that it was for Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, a 2025 first-round pick that is the Lakers, so that could turn into something, and then a 2027 first-round pick, the least favorable between the Milwaukee Bucks and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Christian, after we've seen Mikal Bridges go for five first-round picks about a week ago, do you think what the Pelicans gave up was pretty fair value, or do you kind of feel that the Pelicans see this as a bit of a steal? Because it feels like a lot of fans in Atlanta were like, man, I expected more out of this.
Yeah, I think the Pelicans felt pretty good about the value they gave up to get DeJounte Murray. I mean, DeJounte's under contract for a minimum of three more seasons. It's a pretty good number. You know, it's around that $30 million mark in average annual value. So that's a pretty good deal for a guy who, you know, one-time all-star. I think DeJounte Murray, you know, he's kind of like the guard version of Brandon Ingram to me. I mean, he's very good, but he's not quite an elite player.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Ingram is about to get more than $50 million a year. I mean, just think about it like that. Like, DeJounte Murray is going to make, you know, in the ballpark of $20 million less per year than Brandon Ingram on Ingram's next contract. So he's at a good number. That the Pelicans need that lead guard. And yeah, I think they feel really good about it. They had a surplus of picks, a first-round picks from the Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday trades. Dyson Daniels is a really special defender, but he's got a long ways to go on the offensive end.
Yeah, Christian, I wanted to get into that specifically with Dyson Daniels because, you know, when the trade happens and you see who exactly is coming back in return, a lot of fans have gotten excited over the defense that Daniels brings to the table. Do you kind of think that side of the ball is enough, I guess, to really get him a substantial role with this team? Or is it that, you know, that offensive game is truly has to take some leaps and bounds?
Yeah, it seems like a pretty good fit next to Trae Young. I mean, Trae Young can handle, you know, all the creation load in the half court, and I guess we'll see if Trae Young's still on the team when the season starts.
Sure.
But Dyson is, I mean, legitimately a special, special point of attack defender. I mean, the way I looked at it last season was Herb Jones was the Pelicans' overall best defender, but you could have at least made the argument that Dyson Daniels was their most impactful per minute defender. I mean, Dyson Daniels' role was smaller. He wasn't having to guard, you know, like the other team's most difficult ball handler from the opening tip. Like, his job was easier, but I mean, he would just blow up defenses. Like, he's kind of like Jonathan Isaac. Like, Jonathan Isaac's permanent impact was incredible in Orlando, and Dyson's, you know, I think in New Orleans on the defensive end was too. But there were moments where Dyson just, you know, like, a problem for him in his first year has been just the lack of aggression on the offensive end. And I think, you know, the outside shot is shaky, has looked shaky a lot of the time. He's not a great free throw shooter yet. And I think the other thing is, you know, he's a 6 foot eight kind of guard slash wing, and he's oftentimes not terribly aggressive or great at finishing at the rim. And I think that's a pretty big swing skill for him. I mean, obviously making catch and shoot threes, but just aggression and confidence as a driver and finisher at the rim is something I'm really looking for from him going forward.
Now, Christian, EJ Liddell was also part of this trade. Someone who, if you pull up his stat sheet, is not going to do anything to you know, jump out off the page and really wow you. But what kind of player are the Hawks getting with him?
Yeah, EJ Liddell, the Pelicans were really excited to get him in the second round a couple of years ago. By the time his career at Ohio State was over, had become an extremely productive college player. He dealt with some bad luck early in his career. He tore his ACL at his first summer league, and you know that really impacted the start of his NBA career. That really made getting off on the right foot in the NBA difficult for him. He's obviously fully recovered from that injury since then. You know, I have a question of like, what is EJ Liddell's position? I think there is a belief within the Pelicans or sometime that he's kind of like a 4/5, like Larry Nance Jr., power forward, small ball center. Is that what EJ Liddell is? Can he make 3-point shots at just like an okay clip? That would go a long way towards him. So I don't really know. I mean, he didn't play very much at all with the Pelicans. He got a lot of reps in Birmingham. He was a guy pre-ACL injury who like had good vertical explosion at Ohio State, like a sneaky good shot blocker in college. I'm wondering if he could do some of that in the NBA as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the injury. What did you see from Dyson Daniels with following his injury? Was that like February, I believe, of this year?
Yeah, he was able to get back on the court really quickly. I think that Dyson, it was a torn meniscus injury. Dyson is a guy who definitely loves playing. I mean, people say really good things about his work ethic. I think for a young guy, he's 21 years old, I believe, you know, super mature professional approach. I mean, he looked physically fine coming back from the meniscus thing this year. I mean, really the whole question for him is, can he just become passable on the offensive end? Because he's already a special, special point of attack defender. I remember, you know, like the first time he got rotation minutes his rookie year, it was against the Dallas Mavericks and Luka, and he forced Luka into two turnovers in what was like his real first minutes in the NBA. Like, he's just always had that. It's just all about the offensive end for him.
Now, Christian, kind of going off of that, there's been talks of whether with Dyson Daniels coming to Atlanta and having Kyle Korver as a guy who, sure, he's an assistant GM, but a lot of players use him to improve their shot. But in the same respect, Dyson's had what Fred Vinson, you know, in New Orleans, is now in Detroit. Do you think there is a reasonable amount of expectations that he can grow, or just, I mean, he is essentially kind of like he's had the best there, and so this is what you're going to get?
Yeah, Fred Vinson and Dyson Daniels worked really closely over the past 2 years. I think it's fair to say the results were not where they wanted them to be. You know, like I always look at free throw percentage as an indicator of just touch and sure, can you improve as an outside shooter? And Dyson Daniels' free throw percentage in 2 years, 64.5%. I mean, like, honestly, I like Dyson as a player a lot. That's something that does make me a little bit nervous. So I don't know. I can't read the future, but that's to me not the most encouraging indicator. You know, even if the outside shot never comes along the way you want it to, like, him just scoring more confidently and better at the rim is at least as equally important as him, you know, becoming a better outside shooter to me.
Talking with Christian Clark of NOLA News on the waitfor.com hotline, of course, about this DeJounte Murray trade that brings a return. Dyson Daniels, one of those big pieces, along with the first round picks. But Christian, I guess kind of going off of Fred Vinson, you know, a guy who leaves the Pelicans, goes to Detroit. Have you ever, I guess, how common is this sort of thing of a team like the Pistons hiring an assistant. We thought it was going to be for Monty Williams, but then they go and fire Monty and bring in, now we've learned today, JB Bickerstaff. What kind of a move does this say for Detroit to bring in an assistant before you bring in the coach?
Yeah, I think this is a unique situation. Fred Vincent had a very good relationship with Monty Williams dating back to Monty's time as head coach of the New Orleans Hornets and then Pelicans. Those two guys were very close. But I also think Fred Vincent has a good relationship with Trajan Langdon. I mean, obviously, they overlapped for 5 years in New Orleans when Trajan was the GM here. And I think it's unique, too, because, I mean, Fred Vincent will help with the game planning and traditional assistant coach duties, but he is kind of a specialist, you know? I mean, the main reason he's there is to help guys improve their outside shots and with their shooting mechanics. And, you know, I think theoretically that can work and he can exist regardless of who the head coach is, right? Like, that's fairly independent of game planning and things like that.
Yeah, now Fred Vincent goes, he leaves to Detroit as an assistant, someone that a lot of us, I at least had kind of shooed him in for the head coach job before we now found out that JB Bickerstaff was going to get hired, is James Borrego, an assistant on this Pelican staff. How big of a surprise was it when the news came out that Borrego had decided to turn down that opportunity?
Yeah, I think it was honestly an indicator that he wasn't going to be shoo-in for that Detroit Pistons job. I mean, I'm sitting here wondering if he kind of had an inkling that JB Bickerstaff was going to get that job. So my read on it, it seemed like one of those, well, I'm not going to get this. There's a good chance I don't get this, so I'm just going to pull out. You know, I think Borrego was super close to getting the Cleveland Cavaliers job. I think that if Dan Gilbert had not really inserted himself into that situation and had a lot of influence over the hire, James Borrego very well could have gotten that job. I mean, there's a period of time when people thought this is James Borrego's job to lose, and then Dan Gilbert really got involved in the process, and I think Dan Gilbert chose Kenny Atkinson. So I think that was the one I was looking at that James Borrego got closest to.
How, I guess, what level of importance do you see as Borrego is someone who is a part of this current Pelican staff?
Yeah, I mean, he has head coaching experience. I think the Pelicans valued that a lot when they brought him in. You know, he's regarded as a guy as a sharp offensive mind. I think the Pelicans were a little underwhelming offensively last year at times. Part of that was they just tended to play defensively oriented players around their stars. But the Pelicans are happy to have him back, for sure. I mean, they would have been happy to see him, you know, move up in the world and get a head coaching job, but they're definitely happy to have him back as the associate head coach.
That is Christian Clark, of NOLA News and From the Wing podcast. Like I said, you can follow Christian on social media at CClark_13. Christian, really appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Sunday.
Hey, Caleb, thanks so much.
When we get back on the Dopey Millennial Show, we're going to dive more into this trade of DeJounte Murray, what the Hawks got in return, and what it means about the direction of this Atlanta Hawks team, because it feels like this team finally has a direction, a path of where they want to go for the future. It's all coming up next on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you, going until 10 o'clock this evening. Really excited for the next guest that we're going to have on our show on the waitfor.com hotline. If you've been hiding under a rock, you did not see the fact that DeJounte Murray has been traded from the Atlanta Hawks. That return, something that we're going to spend the next part of our show discussing, is fair value, all of those different things. But DeJounte Murray traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, a 2025 first-round pick via the Lakers, a 2027 first-round pick, the least favorable of the Milwaukee Bucks and the New Orleans Pelicans. So with that being said, let's go out to the waitfor.com hotline and bring in Christian Clark. He is of NOLA News and From the Wing podcast. You can follow Christian on social media at cclark_13. Now, Christian, first off, welcome in. And did you know that the article with the headline that you wrote, From a Hawk to a Pelican, would blow up as much as it did?
Yeah, that was really funny to see how much that took off. I have to give some credit to the Times-Picayune's desk and my friend Tanya Ramirez. Tanya Ramirez was the one who came up with the headline. She's a great designer and editor who I work with. So all credit goes to her for the headline. But yeah, that thing went nuclear. It was pretty funny to see.
It was really cool because I think, you know, for it's the perfect type of headline that for those who aren't familiar with the viral moment of the Hawk to a Girl would just go on about their business, have no idea. But for the rest of us, it was a very, you know, kind of high schoolerish giggle kind of thing. But Christian, when it comes to this trade and the decision from the Pelicans' perspective, why do you think this move happened now?
Yeah, look, I think the Pelicans were interested in trading for DeJounte Murray before the trade deadline in February. It was something that they looked at, and I think they felt like the asking price was high at the time, and it was obviously something that they revisited this summer. I just think that the Pelicans have tried this approach of not having, you know, kind of a pure point guard, and I guess you could quibble with that with DeJounte a little bit, but DeJounte Murray is a lead guard. The Pelicans really haven't operated with a lead guard for the past two seasons. Zion Williamson has filled that role at times. Brandon Ingram has filled that role at times. CJ McCollum has. You know, DeJounte Murray is coming in here to be the lead, to initiate the offense. You know, the Pelicans just had this playoff performance against the Oklahoma City Thunder where they never scored more than 92 in any of the four games. It was just like a brutal offense performance. So I think DeJounte checks a lot of boxes for New Orleans.
All right, Christian, I think, you know, part of this whole reason why we're discussing this trade is because of fit or lack of fit, I would say, and the fact that Trey Young and DeJounte Murray didn't seem to fit together on the court. Why do you think the Pelicans think DeJounte's fit is going to be different for them and to work for them?
Yeah, look, I think the Pelicans are still going to make moves this summer. I think it's more likely than not that Brandon Ingram gets traded. So it's hard to, you know, like give a full evaluation of this roster right now because I still think it's going to change a lot.
Fair.
But
yeah.
Look, certainly the Pelicans were excited about putting DeJounte Murray and Zion Williamson together. And, you know, when you look at like the core four going forward in New Orleans, to me, that's DeJounte Murray, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, and Zion Williamson. I think that's a four that that makes sense together. You know, you've got perimeter defense there. Trey Murphy gives you a lot of the outside shooting. I mean, you've got late game ball handling with DeJounte Murray. Zion Williamson has a pick and roll partner with DeJounte Murray. So to me, that four makes sense. And it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of change the pieces around them.
Talking with Christian Clark of NOLA News and From the Wing podcast on the waitfor.com hotline, dealing with this whole DeJounte Murray trade as he leaves the Atlanta Hawks and goes to the Pelicans. Now, I mentioned right at the top of this interview that it was for Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, a 2025 first-round pick that is the Lakers, so that could turn into something, and then a 2027 first-round pick, the least favorable, between the Milwaukee Bucks and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Christian, after we've seen Mikal Bridges go for five first-round picks about a week ago, do you think what the Pelicans gave up was pretty fair value, or do you kind of feel that the Pelicans see this as a bit of a steal? Because it feels like a lot of fans in Atlanta were like, man, I expected more out of this.
Yeah, I think the Pelicans felt pretty good about the value they gave up to get DeJounte Murray. I mean, DeJounte's under contract for a minimum of three more seasons. It's a pretty good number. You know, it's around that $30 million mark in average annual value. So that's a pretty good deal for a guy who, you know, one-time all-star. I think DeJounte Murray, you know, he's kind of like the guard version of Brandon Ingram to me. I mean, he's very good, but he's not quite an elite player.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Ingram is about to get more than $50 million a year. I mean, just think about it like that. Like, DeJounte Murray is going to make, you know, in the ballpark of $20 million less per year than Brandon Ingram on Ingram's next contract. So he's at a good number. That the Pelicans need that lead guard. And yeah, I think they feel really good about it. They had a surplus of picks, a first-round picks from the Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday trades. Dyson Daniels is a really special defender, but he's got a long ways to go on the offensive end.
Yeah, Christian, I wanted to get into that specifically with Dyson Daniels because, you know, when the trade happens and you see who exactly is coming back in return, a lot of fans have gotten excited over the defense that Daniels brings to the table. Do you kind of think that side of the ball is enough, I guess, to really get him a substantial role with this team? Or is it that, you know, that offensive game is truly has to take some leaps and bounds?
Yeah, it seems like a pretty good fit next to Trae Young. I mean, Trae Young can handle, you know, all the creation load in the half court, and I guess we'll see if Trae Young's still on the team when the season starts.
Sure.
But Dyson is, I mean, legitimately a special, special point of attack defender. I mean, the way I looked at it last season was Herb Jones was the Pelicans' overall best defender, but you could have at least made the argument that Dyson Daniels was their most impactful per-minute defender. I mean, Dyson Daniels' role was smaller. He wasn't having to guard, you know, like the most difficult, the other team's most difficult ball handler from the opening tip. Like, his job was easier, but I mean, he would just blow up defenses. Like, he's kind of like Jonathan Isaac. Like, Jonathan Isaac's permanent impact was incredible in Orlando, and Dyson's, you know, I think in New Orleans on the defensive end was too. But there were moments where Dyson just, you know, like, a problem for him in his first year has been just the lack of aggression on the offensive end. And I think, you know, the outside shot is shaky. It's looked shaky a lot of the time. He's not a great free throw shooter yet. And I think the other thing is, you know, he's a 6'8" kind of guard slash wing, and he's oftentimes not terribly aggressive or great at finishing at the rim. And I think that's a pretty big swing skill for him. I mean, obviously making catch and shoot threes, but just aggression and confidence as a driver and finisher at the rim is something I'm really looking for from him going forward.
Now, Christian, EJ Liddell was also part of this trade. Someone who, if you pull up his stat sheet, is not going to do anything to you know, jump out off the page and really wow you. But what kind of player are the Hawks getting with him?
Yeah, EJ Liddell, you know, the Pelicans were really excited to get him in the second round a couple of years ago. By the time his career at Ohio State was over, had become an extremely productive college player. He dealt with some bad luck early in his career. He tore his ACL at his first summer league, and you know, that really impacted the start of his NBA career. That really made getting off on the right foot in the NBA difficult for him. He's obviously fully recovered from that injury since then. You know, I have a question of, like, what is EJ Liddell's position? I think there was a belief within the Pelicans or sometime that he's kind of like a 4/5, like Larry Nance Jr., power forward, small ball center. Is that what EJ Liddell is? Can he make 3-point shots at just like an okay clip? That would go a long way towards him. So I don't really know. I mean, he didn't play very much at all with the Pelicans. He got a lot of reps in Birmingham. He was a guy pre-ACL injury who like had good vertical explosion at Ohio State, like a sneaky good shot blocker in college. I'm wondering if he could do some of that in the NBA as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the injury. What did you see from Dyson Daniels with following his injury? Was that like February, I believe, of this year?
Yeah, he was able to get back on the court really quickly. I think that Dyson, it was a torn meniscus injury. Dyson is a guy who definitely loves playing. I mean, people say really good things about his work ethic. I think for a young guy, he's 21 years old, I believe, you know, super mature professional approach. I mean, he looked physically fine coming back from the meniscus thing this year. I mean, really the whole question for him is, can he just become passable on the offensive end? Because he's already a special, special point of attack defender. I remember, you know, like the first time he got rotation minutes his rookie year, it was against the Dallas Mavericks and Luka, and he forced Luka into 2 turnovers in what was like his real first minutes in the NBA. Like, he's just always had that. It's just all about the offensive end for him.
Now, Christian, kind of going off of that, there's been talks of whether with Dyson Daniels coming to Atlanta and having Kyle Korver as a guy who, sure, he's an assistant GM, but a lot of players use him to improve their shot. But in the same respect, Dyson's had, what, Fred Vinson, you know, in New Orleans, is now in Detroit. Do you think there is a reasonable amount of expectations that he can grow, or just, I mean, he is essentially kind of like he's had the best there, and so this is what you're going to get?
Yeah, Fred Vinson and Dyson Daniels worked really closely over the past 2 years. I think it's fair to say the results were not where they wanted them to be. You know, like I always look at free throw percentage as an indicator of just touch and sure, can you improve as an outside shooter? And Dyson Daniels free throw percentage in 2 years, 64.5%. I mean, like, honestly, I like Dyson as a player a lot. That's something that does make me a little bit nervous. So I don't know. I can't read the future, but that's to me not the most encouraging indicator. You know, even if the outside shot never comes along the way you want it to, like, him just scoring more confidently and better at the rim is at least as equally important as him, you know, becoming a better outside shooter to me.
Talking with Christian Clark of NOLA News on the WaitForIt.com hotline, of course, about this DeJounte Murray trade that brings a return. Dyson Daniels, one of those big pieces, along with the first round picks. But Christian, I guess kind of going off of Fred Vinson, you know, a guy who leaves the Pelicans, goes to Detroit. Have you ever, I guess, how common is this sort of thing of a team like the Pistons hiring an assistant? We thought it was going to be for Monty Williams, but then they go and fire Monty and bring in, now we've learned today, JB Bickerstaff. You know, what kind of a move does this say for Detroit to bring in an assistant before you bring in the coach?
Yeah, I think this is a unique situation. Fred Vinson had a very good relationship with Monty Williams dating back to Monty's time as head coach of the New Orleans Hornets and then Pelicans. Those two guys were very close. But I also think Fred Vinson has a good relationship with Trajan Langdon. I mean, obviously they overlapped for 5 years in New Orleans when Trajan was the GM here. And I think it's unique too, because, I mean, Fred Vinson will help with the game planning and traditional assistant coach duties, but he is kind of a specialist, you know? I mean, the main reason he's there is to help guys improve their outside shots and with their shooting mechanics. And, you know, I think theoretically that can work, and he can exist regardless of who the head coach is, right? Like, that's fairly independent of game planning and things like that.
Yeah. Now, Fred Vinson goes, he leaves to Detroit as an assistant, someone that a lot of us, I at least had kind of shooed him in for the head coach job before we now found out that J.B. Bickerstaff was going to get hired, is James Borrego, an assistant on this Pelican staff. How big of a surprise was it when the news came out that Borrego had decided to turn down that opportunity?
Yeah, I think it was honestly an indicator that he wasn't going to be a shoo-in for that Detroit Pistons job. I mean, I'm sitting here wondering if he kind of had an inkling that the J.B. Bickerstaff was going to get that job. So it, to me, I mean, my read on it, it seemed like one of those, well, I'm not going to get this. There's a good chance I don't get this, so I'm just going to pull out. You know, I think Borrego was super close to getting the Cleveland Cavaliers job. I think that if Dan Gilbert had not really inserted himself into that situation and had a lot of influence over the hire, James Borrego very well could have gotten that job. I mean, there's a period of time when people thought this is James Borrego's job to lose, and then Dan Gilbert really got involved in the process, and I think Dan Gilbert chose Kenny Atkinson. So I think that was the one I was looking at that James Borrego got closest to.
How, I guess, what level of importance do you see as Borrego is someone who is a part of this current Pelican staff?
Yeah, I mean, he has head coaching experience. I think the Pelicans valued that a lot when they brought him in. You know, he's regarded as a guy as a sharp offensive mind. I think the Pelicans were a little underwhelming offensively last year at times. Part of that was they just tended to play defensively oriented players around their stars. But the Pelicans are happy to have him back, for sure. I mean, they would have been happy to see him, you know, move up in the world and get a head coaching job, but they're definitely happy to have him back as the associate head coach.
That is Christian Clark, excuse me, of NOLA News and From the Wing podcast. Like I said, you can follow Christian on social media at @CClark_13. Christian, really appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Sunday.
Hey, Caleb, thanks so much.
When we get back on the Dopey Millennial Show, we're going to dive more into this trade of DeJounte Murray, what the Hawks got in return, and what it means about the direction of this Atlanta Hawks team, because it feels like this team finally has a direction, a path of where they want to go for the future. It's all coming up next on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you, going until 10 o'clock this evening. Really excited for the next guest that we're going to have on our show on the waitfor.com hotline. If you've been hiding under a rock, you did not see the fact that DeJounte Murray has been traded from the Atlanta Hawks. That return, something that we're going to spend the next part of our show discussing, is fair value, all of those different things. But DeJounte Murray traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, a 2025 first-round pick via the Lakers, a 2027 first-round pick, the least favorable of the Milwaukee Bucks and the New Orleans Pelicans. So with that being said, let's go out to the waitfor.com hotline and bring in Christian Clark. He is of NOLA News and From the Wing podcast. You can follow Christian on social media at @CClark_13. Now, Christian, first off, welcome in. And did you know that the article with the headline that you wrote, From a Hawk to a Pelican, would blow up as much as it did?
Yeah, that was really funny to see how much that took off. I have to give some credit to the Times-Picayune's desk and my friend Tanya Ramirez. Tanya Ramirez was the one who came up with the headline. She's a great designer and editor who I work with. So all credit goes to her for the headline. But yeah, that thing went nuclear. It was pretty funny to see.
It was really cool because I think, you know, for it's the perfect type of headline that, for those who aren't familiar with the viral moment of the Hawk to a Girl, would just go on about their business, have no idea. But for the rest of us, it was a very, you know, kind of high schoolerish giggle kind of thing. But Christian, when it comes to this trade and the decision from the Pelicans perspective, why do you think this move happened now?
Yeah, look, I think the Pelicans were interested in trading for DeJounte Murray before the trade deadline in February. It was something that they looked at, and I think they felt like the asking price was high at the time, and it was obviously something that they revisited this summer. I just think that the Pelicans have tried this approach of not having, you know, kind of a pure point guard. And I guess you could quibble with that with DeJounte a little bit, but DeJounte Murray is a lead guard. The Pelicans really haven't operated with a lead guard for the past two seasons. Zion Williamson has filled that role at times. Brandon Ingram has filled that role at times. CJ McCollum has. You know, DeJounte Murray is coming in here to be the lead, to initiate the offense. You know, the Pelicans just had this playoff performance against the Oklahoma City Thunder where they never scored more than 92 in any of the four games. It was just like a brutal offense performance. So I think DeJounte checks a lot of boxes for New Orleans.
All right, Christian, I think, you know, part of this whole reason why we're discussing this trade is because of fit or lack of fit, I would say, and the fact that Trey Young and DeJounte Murray didn't seem to fit together on the court. Why do you think the Pelicans think DeJounte's fit is going to be different for them and to work for them?
Yeah, look, I think the Pelicans are still going to make moves this summer. I think it's more likely than not that Brandon Ingram gets traded. So it's hard to, you know, like give a full evaluation of this roster right now because I still think it's going to change a lot.
Fair.
But
yeah.
Look, certainly the Pelicans were excited about putting DeJounte Murray and Zion Williamson together. And, you know, when you look at like the core four going forward in New Orleans, to me, that's DeJounte Murray, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, and Zion Williamson. I think that's a four that makes sense together. You know, you've got perimeter defense there. Trey Murphy gives you a lot of the outside shooting. I mean, you've got late game ball handling with DeJounte Murray. Zion Williamson has a pick and roll partner with DeJounte Murray. So to me, that four makes sense. And it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of change the pieces around them.
Talking with Christian Clark of NOLA News and From the Wing podcast on the waitfor.com hotline, dealing with this whole DeJounte Murray trade as he leaves the Atlanta Hawks and goes to the Pelicans. Now, I mentioned right at the top of this interview that it was for Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, a 2025 first-round pick that is the Lakers, so that could turn into something, and then a 2027 first-round pick, the least favorable between the Milwaukee Bucks and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Christian, after we've seen Mikal Bridges go for five first-round picks about a week ago, do you think what the Pelicans gave up was pretty fair value, or do you kind of feel that the Pelicans see this as a bit of a steal? Because it feels like a lot of fans in Atlanta were like, man, I expected more out of this.
Yeah, I think the Pelicans felt pretty good about the value they gave up to get DeJounte Murray. I mean, DeJounte's under contract for a minimum of three more seasons. It's a pretty good number. You know, it's around that $30 million mark in average annual value. So that's a pretty good deal for a guy who, you know, one-time all-star. I think DeJounte Murray, you know, he's kind of like the guard version of Brandon Ingram to me. I mean, he's very good, but he's not quite an elite player.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Ingram is about to get more than $50 million a year. I mean, just think about it like that. Like DeJounte Murray is going to make, you know, in the ballpark of $20 million less per year than Brandon Ingram on Ingram's next contract. So he's at a good number that the Pelicans need that lead guard. And yeah, I think they feel really good about it. They had a surplus of picks, a first round picks from the Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday trades. Dyson Daniels is a really special defender, but he's got a long ways to go on the offensive end.
Yeah, Christian, I wanted to get into that specifically with Dyson Daniels because, you know, when the trade happens and you see who exactly is coming back in return, a lot of fans have gotten excited over the defense that Daniels brings to the table. Do you kind of think that side of the ball is enough, I guess, to really get him a substantial role with this team? Or is it that, you know, that offensive game is truly has to take some leaps and bounds?
Yeah, it seems like a pretty good fit next to Trae Young. I mean, Trae Young can handle, you know, all the creation load in the half court, and I guess we'll see if Trae Young's still on the team when the season starts.
Sure.
But Dyson is, I mean, legitimately a special point of attack defender. I mean, I the way I looked at it last season was Herb Jones was the Pelicans' overall best defender, but you could have at least made the argument that Dyson Daniels was their most impactful per minute defender. I mean, Dyson Daniels' role was smaller. He wasn't having to guard, you know, like the most difficult, the other team's most difficult ball handler from the opening tip. Like his job was easier, but I mean, he would just blow up defenses. Like he's kind of like Jonathan Isaac. Like Jonathan Isaac's permanent impact was incredible in Orlando, and Dyson's, you know, I think in New Orleans on defensive end was too, but there were moments where Dyson just, you know, like a problem for him in his first year has been just the lack of aggression on the offensive end. And I think, you know, the outside shot is shaky. It's looked shaky a lot of the time. He's not a great free throw shooter yet. And I think the other thing is, you know, he's a 6'8" kind of guard slash wing, and he's oftentimes not terribly aggressive or great at finishing at the rim. And I think that's a pretty big swing skill for him. I mean, obviously making catch and shoot threes, but just aggression and confidence as a driver and finisher at the rim is something I'm really looking for from him going forward.
Now, Christian, EJ Liddell was also part of this trade. Someone who, if you pull up his stat sheet, is not going to do anything to you know, jump out off the page and really wow you. But what kind of player are the Hawks getting with him?
Yeah, EJ Liddell, you know, the Pelicans were really excited to get him in the second round a couple of years ago. By the time his career at Ohio State was over, had become an extremely productive college player. He dealt with some bad luck early in his career. He tore his ACL at his first summer league, and you know, that really impacted the start of his NBA career. That really made getting off on the right foot in the NBA difficult for him. He's obviously fully recovered from that injury since then. You know, I have a question of like, what is EJ Liddell's position? I think there is a belief within the Pelicans or sometime that he's kind of like a 4/5, like Larry Nance Jr., power forward, small ball center. Is that what EJ Liddell is? Can he make 3-point shots at just like an okay clip? That would go a long way towards him. So I don't really know. I mean, he didn't play very much at all with the Pelicans. He got a lot of reps in Birmingham. He was a guy pre-ACL injury who like had good vertical explosion at Ohio State, like a sneaky good shot blocker in college. I'm wondering if he could do some of that in the NBA as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the injury. What did you see from Dyson Daniels with following his injury? Was that like February, I believe, of this year?
Yeah, he was able to get back on the court really quickly. I think that Dyson, it was a torn meniscus injury. Dyson is a guy who definitely loves playing. I mean, people say really good things about his work ethic. I think for a young guy, he's 21 years old, I believe, you know, super mature professional approach. I mean, he looked physically fine coming back from the meniscus thing this year. I mean, really the whole question for him is, can he just become passable on the offensive end? Because he's already a special, special point of attack defender. I remember, you know, like the first time he got rotation minutes his rookie year, it was against the Dallas Mavericks and Luka, and he forced Luka into two turnovers in what was like his real first minutes in the NBA. Like he's just always had that. It's just all about the offensive end for him.
Now, Christian, kind of going off of that, there's been talks of whether with Dyson Daniels coming to Atlanta, and having Kyle Korver as a guy who, sure, he's an assistant GM, but a lot of players use him to improve their shot. But in the same respect, Dyson's had, what, Fred Vinson, you know, in New Orleans, is now in Detroit. Do you think there is a reasonable amount of expectations that he can grow, or just, I mean, he is essentially kind of like he's had the best there, and so this is what you're going to get?
Yeah, Fred Vinson and Dyson Daniels worked really closely over the past 2 years. I think it's fair to say the results were not where they wanted them to be. You know, like I always look at free throw percentage as an indicator of just touch and sure, can you improve as an outside shooter? And Dyson Daniels' free throw percentage in 2 years, 64.5%. I mean, like honestly, I like Dyson as a player a lot. That's something that does make me a little bit nervous. So I don't know. I can't read the future, but that's to me not the most encouraging indicator. You know, even if the outside shot never comes along the way you want it to, like him just scoring more confidently and better at the rim is at least as equally important as him, you know, becoming a better outside shooter to me.
Talking with Christian Clark of NOLA News on the WaitFor.com hotline, of course, about this DeJounte Murray trade that brings a return. Dyson Daniels, one of those big pieces, along with the first round picks. But Christian, I guess kind of going off of Fred Vincent, you know, a guy who leaves the Pelicans, goes to Detroit. Have you ever, I guess, how common is this sort of thing of a team like the Pistons hiring an assistant? We thought it was going to be for Monty Williams, but then they go and fire Monty and bring in, now we've learned today, JB Bickerstaff. You know, what kind of a move does this say for Detroit to bring in an assistant before you bring in the coach?
Yeah, I think this is a unique situation. Fred Vincent had a very good relationship with Monty Williams dating back to Monty's time as head coach of the New Orleans Hornets and then Pelicans. Those two guys were very close. But I also think Fred Vincent has a good relationship with Trajan Langdon. I mean, obviously, they overlapped for 5 years in New Orleans when Trajan was the GM here. And I think it's unique, too, because, I mean, Fred Vincent will help with the game planning and traditional assistant coach duties, but he is kind of a specialist, you know? I mean, the main reason he's there is to help guys improve their outside shots and with their shooting mechanics. And, you know, I think theoretically that can work and he can exist regardless of who the head coach is, right? Like that's fairly independent of game planning and things like that.
Yeah. Now Fred Vincent goes, he leaves to Detroit as an assistant, someone that a lot of us, I at least had kind of shoot him in for the head coach job before we now found out that JB Bickerstaff was going to get hired. Is James Borrego an assistant on this Pelican staff? How big of a surprise was it when the news came out that Borrego had decided to turn down that opportunity?
Yeah, I think it was honestly an indicator that he wasn't going to be shoo-in for that Detroit Pistons job. I mean, I'm sitting here wondering if he kind of had an inkling that JB Bickerstaff was going to get that job. So it, to me, I mean, my read on it, it seemed like one of those, well, I'm not going to get this. There's a good chance I don't get this, so I'm just going to pull out. You know, I think Borrego was super close to getting the Cleveland Cavaliers job. I think that if Dan Gilbert had not really inserted himself into that situation and had a lot of influence over the hire, James Borrego very well could have gotten that job. I mean, there's a period of time when people thought this is James Borrego's job to lose, and then Dan Gilbert really got involved in the process. And I think Dan Gilbert chose Kenny Atkinson. So I think that was the one I was looking at that James Borrego got closest to.
How, I guess, what level of importance do you see as Borrego is someone who is a part of this current Pelican staff?
Yeah, I mean, he has head coaching experience. I think the Pelicans valued that a lot when they brought him in. You know, he's regarded as a guy as a sharp offensive mind. I think the Pelicans were a little underwhelming offensively last year at times. Part of that was they just tended to play defensively oriented players around their stars. But the Pelicans are happy to have him back for sure. I mean, they would have been happy to see him, you know, move up in the world and get a head coaching job, but they're definitely happy to have him back as the associate head coach.
That is Christian Clark, excuse me, of NOLA News and from the Wing podcast. Like I said, you can follow Christian on social media at CClark_13. Christian, really appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Sunday.
Hey, Caleb, thanks so much.
When we get back on the Dopey Millennial Show, we're going to dive more into this trade of DeJounte Murray, what the Hawks got in return, and what it means about the direction of this Atlanta Hawks team, because it feels like this team finally has a direction, a path of where they want to go for the future. It's all coming up next on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.